Three readings from the prophets in the epistles and the gospels this morning. A common theme of yoke. From Jeremiah chapter 2. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Have you not brought this upon yourself by forsaking the Lord your God while he led you in the way? What then do you gain by going to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what do you gain by going to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your wickedness will punish you. Your apostasies will convict you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. For long ago you broke your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not serve. This is the word of the Lord. And from Paul's letter to Christians in Rome, the apostle wrote, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become now slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get then from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. And from the Gospel of Matthew in the 11th chapter, words of Jesus, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation within each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we encounter a gracious invitation from Jesus to all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. We can universalize that to all situations, for indeed there are many things that can burden the soul. But the specific situation that Jesus encountered 2,000 years ago was a burden upon the Jewish people that was rigorous and nigh unto impossible. A yoke of religious obligation, oppressive demands from the religious establishment in Jerusalem. The context of Matthew makes it clear that Jesus referred to these religious obligations as great burdens that religious leaders were imposing on ordinary people. And Jesus railed against those who tie heavy burdens, unable for people to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others. When coupled with the weight of Roman occupation and Roman taxes, the people of Judea and Galilee were indeed heavily burdened in Jesus' era. The good news of the gospel that Jesus proclaimed was freedom from the burdens imposed by the scribes and the Sadducees. In the call of Jesus, people could find rest for their souls, salvation. The scroll of Isaiah and the Old Testament prophets had once spoken of a yoke as a symbol of oppressive burden. But what Jesus offered was not a life free of any yoke, undisciplined, unrestrained. Rather, he promised that the harness of the gospel is bearable. Ordinary folk like you and me can manage it. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Freedom is not absolute. The attempts to live in absolute freedom result in anarchy and immediately ensue a new form of oppression. Human energy must be guided by purpose, or it becomes wasteful or destructive or both. If you launch a missile with a rocket engine, as long as it's still in Earth's atmosphere, it has to have fins on it so that it has true guidance. Oxen need harnessing to accomplish work. You and I need the guidance of God and God's Word. That's why, despite the emphasis in Christian doctrine on grace, that God loves us apart from anything that we've ever done or failed to do, Christian ethics, on the other hand, cannot abandon the fact that God is one who commands us. Our obedience of God's commandments never earn us God's love. Rather, obedience flows from our discovery of grace, that we've already been loved and forgiven by our Maker. In other words, God redeems us in Christ while we are yet sinners. But then God does not leave us in the dark to grope and try to find our own way, but rather gives us the guidance of Scripture to shape the new life to which we are called as disciples of Jesus Christ. Of the self-evident truths which Thomas Jefferson penned and which we celebrated 5 days ago, you know, by making little explosions all over town, you know that we're created equal with inalienable rights of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I think Jefferson missed one of the self-evident truths of life, and that is this. The human energy must be properly harnessed if it is to accomplish good rather than evil. I think that's self-evident based on the tragic witness of history. That's why the guidance of Scripture is a good gift that comes to us out of God's love. It's not that God is trying to set up a bunch of hurdles that we have to jump over to earn our place in God's kingdom. Now, when I was at Hastings College, the students would talk about hopping through the hoops of some professor in this paper chase that's supposed to end in 4 years or five with a degree. But God's guidance in the new life, New Testament scholar Elizabeth Ochtermeyer wrote. By the way, Elizabeth Ochtermeyer was a New Testament scholar, taught at Union Seminary in Virginia, married to another New Testament scholar named Paul Ochtermeyer, who taught at Union Seminary in Virginia. And Paul Ochtermeyer was a native of Fairbury, Nebraska. A little Nebraska thing. But anyway, Elizabeth Ochtermeyer wrote, "God's guidance is pure grace, given out of love. Heaven knows our society cannot instruct us on how to live the Christian life. Society's not equipped to do that, for it is lost in the willfulness of its own way and knows little of God's way. Apart from God's guidance, we do not know how to live. But God, in mercy, wants things to go well for us. So, in love, God gives us direction to point us the way to wholeness, to life, and to joy. Far from hurdles to clear or hoops through which we must hop, the guidance of God is more like a cast on a broken arm. And the arm is already broken before the physician, you know, molds that cast around it. As bulky and awkward and as itchy as a cast might be, it is vital protection for the arm from further injury and so that the arm heals straight. I had a brother, Ken. He played halfback at Broken Bow High School. He was 11 years older than I. Played halfback at Broken Bow High School. He didn't get the ball very often because the other halfback was Kent McLuhan. And those of you who've been Cornhusker fans very long know Kent McLuhan went on to play for the Cornhuskers in the mid-60s and then went on to be an all-pro cornerback for the Oakland Raiders, where he is credited with inventing the bump-and-run defensive technique. So my brother Ken, with Kent on the other side of the backfield, didn't get the ball very often, but he did once. And the Kozad people came after him and crushed him and broke his arm. So he had it cast. 2 days later, he was tired of how hot and itchy it was. So he found himself a concrete wall and he broke the cast off his arm. Didn't do his arm any good. When Jesus calls us to take his yoke upon us, promising that his yoke is easy, he's not trying to pull the wool over our eyes. Now, if you were a draft horse, say a Clydesdale or a massive Belgian, how much happier and fulfilled your equine life would be if you worked with a farmer who harnessed you for labor in the field and cared for you and groomed you and fed you with oats, which your labor helped to produce. How much happier would your lot be than if you were simply turned out on open range where no one provided a water trough or grooming or oats? Which horse, the one harnessed or the one on open range, is really free? The prophet Jeremiah lamented that the people of Israel rejected the guidance of God. You broke your yokes, you burst your bonds, and said, I will not serve. It's a paradoxical truth of the gospel. Only when we are harnessed by God's guidance, working for God's purposes, do we ever find fulfillment and rest for our souls. St. Paul argued in our reading from his letter to Romans today that our choice is not whether we shall be slaves, but whether we'll be slaves to sin or slaves to the purposes of God. Dostoevsky's Brothers Karamazov has a scene in which the Grand Inquisitor offers a frightening account of what happens to the human soul that's lost its authentic purpose. The secret of a man's being is not only to live, but to live for something definite. Without a firm notion of what he's living for, a person will not accept life and will prefer to destroy himself than live on. Or as H. King Omeg once put it, when Jesus calls us to strive first for the kingdom of God, he is not calling us to be lopsided, rigid, inflexible, religious knotheads for his sake. He is providing us with the answer for our search for significance, the ultimate why of our lives, because otherwise our lives can be choked by things of insignificance. There's a Dane philosopher named Soren Kierkegaard, who's often, if somebody first reads Kierkegaard, they think perhaps he was in the 20th century because his thinking is so advanced. But he actually lived early in the 19th century. And he wrote, the thing in life is to understand myself, and that is to see what God wants me to do. So the thing is to find the reality for which I can live and for which I could die. So again, the fact is there's no such thing as absolute freedom. Here's Elizabeth Ochtemeyer again. It's only in wearing the yoke of Christ and following his guiding reins that we have not absolute freedom, but the perfect freedom for which our souls long. Our difficulty in America today is we want freedom without discipline, rights without responsibility, self-fulfillment without commitment. Jesus said, if you are my disciples, discipline is the yoke. If you are my disciples, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But that depends on being harnessed. Jesus told a story about a lad, you know it well, who sought unbounded freedom, a life without restraint. He was tired of the rules in dad's house. So he demanded part of his father's estate before it was due him. And he went off and squandered himself and his father's money in a life of excess until he hit the limits of this so-called freedom. For a while, people who hit such a wall are no doubt puzzled, wondering, why is this happening to me? Blaming God, perhaps, or a string of bad luck for a situation that was clearly the result of a string of poor choices. We do not, you see, really ever break moral laws. Moral laws break us. And when we discover that reality, we come to a point where we find our senses, as this wayward lad did in Jesus' story, known as the parable of the prodigal son. And when he came to his senses, he realized that he did not deserve to come home as a son, but perhaps he would be able to get a square meal if he simply signed on to be a hired hand on the farm. But surprise, he's welcomed home as a son. And such is the invitation that Jesus Christ puts before all of us. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You will find rest for your soul. When we accept the discipline of God's guidance, we will find a true rest that comes with accomplishment, fulfillment, and purpose that is not only for today, but for eternity. Amen.